Take your Bible, and I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter 2. If you have a cell phone on, I want to recommend that you turn it on vibrate or turn it off completely. And then let's make sure we're still and attentive to the preaching of the Word of God. If you must step out, let's make an emergency and do it with as little fanfare as possible. Ephesians chapter 2. Once you found Ephesians 2, I want you to stand with me, if you will. I'm going to read some of the most popular verses from the book of Ephesians and throughout the New Testament. A lot of people turn to these verses often. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8, the Bible says this: "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." And let's pray. Father, help me as I deliver the sermon today. Help it to help us. There are good people in this room who are fighting a secondary war. And may they not let the devil distract them from the primary war of life. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll look this way, I'm going to tell you the title that I put on my sermon, and I'm very unsatisfied with the title. The title is Serving for the Sake of Our Good Works. Serving or Surviving for the Sake of Our Good Works. I was going to call it Your Suffering Is Not All About You. I was going to call it Your Attack Is Not All About You. I was going to call it Pride in Your Pain. But I couldn't figure out what to call it, so I'm calling it Surviving for the Sake of Our Good Works. Notice in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." There are good works that you and I are to do, and these are the good works of Jesus Christ. You and I as Christians were to do a work, and it is the furthering of the work of Jesus Christ. Well, Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." Folks, I am to do a work for God. But the same is true for you. God did not save us to just sit around. God saved us to serve. God could have saved you and taken you to heaven immediately. But God saved you to serve. God didn't save you to leave you behind and just eat Wendy's doubles with cheese all day long. Although that's not a bad thing to do. But don't go to McDonald's. You'll get in a fist fight over the drinks. But listen, God saved you to serve. He didn't save you to sit. You and I, the Apostle Paul said, "I finished my course." What was he talking about? He said, I'm finishing what I was given to do while I was here. Now, so you know, me as a Christian, my work is always helping people and reaching people and trying to get people saved. And life, so you all know, it's really all about people and God. Life is not about things. Life is about people and God. God first, people second, but that's what life is. You know, we're all, if you're saved, God saved you, left you here, and believe it or not, there's somebody out there you're to help. That's why he left you behind. He did not leave you behind to make money. Making money's not bad. Matter of fact, the more you make, if you'll tithe, the more I get. And I'm good with that. But I got to tell you, though, God didn't leave you behind to make money. And God didn't leave you behind to eat cheeseburgers. And God didn't leave you behind to build a name for yourself. God left you behind after salvation so that you could reach people. And there's some people you're supposed to reach. Now, that's how I serve God. And that's how you're to serve God. And by the way, if you're not a people-reaching kind of person, you're not real productive as a Christian. Because people is what God's all about. It's said in Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Jesus was seeking and helping people and saving them. That's what he was doing. Satan wants to stop us from doing that people work in our life. God would call that the will of God for our lives, and Satan wants to stop you from doing that. I don't know enough about history, but I do have a little illustration that I want to apply at this point. I want you to listen to it real carefully. On D-Day, the Allied forces had an operation that they called Operation Fortitude. There was war with the Nazis. And the Allied forces wanted to fool the Nazis and mislead them about the fact that the Allied forces would be coming to Normandy to whip the Nazis. And the Allied forces did not want the Nazis to know that they were coming to Normandy. Of course, the element of surprise. A lot of people don't realize, but in England, they were having what was called Operation Fortitude. They were giving the impression they were building and housing an army in England that was as big as the army that was moving to attack at Normandy. But they were still back in England. Believe it or not, they had inflatable tanks that they had out, so it looked like their war power was not coming toward Normandy. They had inflatable trucks. They had made it look like the barracks were full. Why? So the spies would look and say all their power is still in England. They didn't want the Nazis to know that they were moving toward Normandy. They, if you will, were setting it up so it looked like there were fake troops not heading toward Normandy. Fake tanks that were not heading toward Normandy. Fake trucks and artillery that were not moving toward Normandy. There was fake troop movements to make them think they were doing something else. It was a deception. They were making fake radio broadcasts to keep them from thinking that the Nazis' enemy was moving toward Normandy. And of course, as you know, they went to Normandy and eventually won a war. The devil's real smart. If man can figure out a way to deceive in war, don't you think the devil could deceive in war? The devil understands strategy. Here's what happens to you and I as Christians. Satan wants to stop us from doing the people work that God has given us to do. That's reaching the people we're to reach. So the enemy, Satan, he launches attacks maybe on you and I, hoping that we would get in a battle with somebody and get off track of our main purpose in life. Did you know that our main purpose in life is not to be fighting the devil? Your main purpose in life is to be reaching people. I know all sorts of people think they're good Christians because they're always fighting the devil. Well, if you would, maybe you ought to step out of that fight and come over here and reach people. Because he's trying to get you in a fight that keeps you away from reaching people. We must survive our enemy's attack, not just for the sake of your survival. You're to survive the enemy's attack because there's something bigger for you to do. The main purpose of your life is not to just survive the enemy's attack. It's for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. You know that there are people today that you're to reach, and there are people someday that you're supposed to reach, and you need to survive the attack of the enemy, not just so you survive, but so you survive and go on and help the people you're to help. That's who the devil's out to get. I think we sometimes so vainly think this is all about me. I'm in this battle. I'm under attack. This is happening to me. What the devil's trying to do is to get you off track or to stop you from going and doing the work that Christians were left here to do, which is not eating doubles with cheese from Wendy's. It's reaching people, helping people, and seeing people saved. Now, my sermon's very simple, but I do want you to stay with me. I believe there are many good people in this room that you are trying to fight a battle with the enemy But you've allowed your whole life to be about that. And the truth is, the battle really is for the souls of men and helping people. And you, if you're not careful, there's some people in here, like the Nazis, you've been deceived. You think the battles are all about you. Now, you need to get through your burden because there's somebody you're supposed to be getting to. You're to be helping. Stay with me. The sermon gets very, very simple. But if you'll listen, I'll show you the deception of the devil in getting you to be in a primary battle and you're missing. I'm sorry, you to be in a secondary battle and you're missing the primary battle. First of all, we got to realize when our enemy comes at us, it's really not our enemy. There's somebody behind that enemy that comes at us. In other words, we must realize that our enemy is not our enemy, but there's somebody behind that enemy that's out to get the Lord. In Mark 1:13 it says, "And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan." Now folks, I hate the devil. If somebody is used of the devil, you better understand something. That person is being used by the devil as a pawn in the devil's way of doing things. I hate the devil. I don't hate someone that is my enemy. I happen to know something. If someone is my enemy, guess who's behind that? Don't lose track of the real primary war. Satan is behind that. Hey, I hate the accuser of the brethren, not the brethren that the accuser is abusing. The devil would like for you to target your animosity toward a person or situation and miss his presence in this thing altogether. Some of you might think this is a flippant way to say something, but something happens and it's opposing to the church or opposing to God. And somebody says, the devil got in that. You might think, oh, what a cute little statement. No, you need to realize that's what happened. The devil got in that. That's what happened. That's where that came from. The devil uses people to accomplish his purpose and to hate the person that was being used by the devil. You got it wrong. Hate the devil. Your real enemy is the enemy behind your enemy. Let me say it again. Your real enemy is the enemy behind your enemy. So, we got to realize that our enemy is not our enemy, but there's someone behind that enemy. Number two, you cannot and you should not return evil for evil in life. You don't return evil for evil. So you've got an enemy out there. And remember, I gave you the basic premise of the sermon. You have an enemy, they attack you, and if you're not careful, you get in a battle. And before long, you're in that battle and you're no longer reaching people and helping people and changing lives, and the devil has you off track. And the devil uses that enemy to get you off track. So I said, realize there is an enemy behind your enemy. That's the devil. Secondly, God teaches us not to return evil for evil. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9, it says, not rendering evil for evil. That's interesting. Remember, that sin and evil are not the same. Sin is something you do that's wrong, that hurts you. And evil is when our wrong or our purpose is trying to hurt others. It's kind of a conspiracy thing. Sin is where I use my tongue to cuss. Evil would be my tongue becoming a gossiping tongue or a backbiting tongue or a slandering tongue or sowing discord among the brethren or the misuse of Facebook to hurt people. Now, I would say this, though. Don't try to hurt the people who hurt you. Don't plot against the ones who plot against you. Don't gossip against the ones who gossip against you. God tells us don't slander the slanderer. Don't attack the attacker. You say, why? Satan would love for you to do evil, and he would love the evil that's come against you to produce evil coming out of you. And remember, the whole purpose of the sermon is, don't get off track. God left you behind to help people, reach people, make a difference in people's lives. And when attack comes at you, the devil is trying to get you into a secondary war. And what you need to do is decide, I'm going to stay on the firing line. I'm going to keep getting people saved. I'm going to keep getting visitors in church. I'm going to keep helping people. That's why you and I are here. Remember, your ultimate goal is to serve and reach and help people. If you render evil for evil, you have now become a people herder, not a people helper. And I got to tell you, it's real tempting when people attack you to want to attack back. Man, it's easy. I could put it this way. It comes natural. You don't have to teach 2 2-year-olds to whack each other in the head with a toy when they're fussing over something. Parents, somebody might say, well, they learned that from their mother. No, they didn't. They learned that from the devil and their carnal nature and their mother-in-law. I'm sorry. A double negative, mother-in-law and devil. Hey, listen. Watch out now. You and I are to help people, reach people, and get people saved. So when an enemy comes at us, there's really an enemy behind that enemy. That's the devil. And God said, be careful to return evil for evil. Why? Well, first of all, He said, don't do it. But secondly, He said, because when you're returning evil for evil, now you become a people herder instead of a people helper. And your primary purpose in life is to help people. Thirdly, I think you need to learn to see your enemy as a human who is hurting themselves and being hurt by the devil. Somebody attacks you, somebody's hard on you, if someone is evil towards you, you need to understand, if they're doing wrong, they're hurting themselves. And if they're doing wrong, the one that's behind them doing the wrong, do you see they're being used and hurt by the devil? 2 Timothy 2:25 says, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Do you know there are people that do things and they oppose themselves while they do it? So if someone has become evil against you, are they supposed to be acting evil? No. Who's behind that? The devil. So is the devil hurting them? Yes. Are they hurting themselves? Absolutely they are. They oppose themselves and they're being pushed along by the devil. I'll tell you how. You say, well, Pastor, somebody's trying to hurt me. How do I think so I don't want revenge? Well, this might be hard for you, but you need to realize the person that may be evil towards you or you feel like are attacking you, they have burdens too. Now, they have heartaches too. And if they're being evil towards you, the devil's got a finger in their life, doesn't he? You think the devil's going to mess with them without them paying a price? The same enemy, the ultimate enemy, the devil that you have, is their enemy. They may not realize it at the moment, but he is. Realize they have disappointments in life as well. Realize their evil towards you is making their own life worse. Did you know that God doesn't bless evil? So if they're being evil towards you, there's going to be absence of God's blessing in their life. That's not a good thing. So they've added heartache to their headache because they're evil. They're being hurt by the devil as he uses them as a pawn of destruction in his chess game, maybe against you. You know something? When people become evil toward me, I feel sorry for them. You say, why? They're getting tore up. Now I want to be careful not to become like that. That's why God said, don't render evil for evil. Do you know sin hurts people? And evil is the worst kind of sin. So they're going to suffer the worst kind of hurt. And I wish you could grow to the point where you would realize and be able to sincerely say this. But I don't want people to hurt because of their evil. We're not supposed to want people to hurt because of their evil. I'm very careful. You could ask people in leadership that get around me. I'm very careful how I handle people when they're becoming evil toward me. It's not because I'm afraid. I really don't want them to make their situation worse because they're going to get hurt worse. I'm not trying to hurt people. I'm in the people helping business. You say, yeah, thank you, Pastor. No, we're all in the people helping business. That's what we all, that's the only reason Christians were left here. Or God could have saved us and taken us to heaven. You're not here to make money. You're not here to get you're not here to get famous. You are here to make a difference in people's lives. That's why you're here. And the devil comes along and says, I am going to do everything I can to get them off track. So I'll have the devil attack them. And if I can get them fighting this battle over here with somebody, I can get them off track from their ultimate purpose in life. That's that secondary war. And sometimes we feel good. I've been fighting the devil all day long. Well, maybe I'll leave him in the ring and go get somebody saved.
Come on.
You see, our enemy is being pushed along by the ultimate enemy. And God said, don't return evil for evil. That makes you like them. And we're people helpers, not hurters. And the evil that's come against you is someone hurting you instead of helping you. He said, you need to understand, they are hurting themselves in what they do. Next, if I were you, I would not make the mistake of asking God to judge them. You can do what you want, but I just don't think it sounds like the Christian thing to do and say, God, I'll leave vengeance to you. I hope you kill them. But it's your call. Does that sound Christian? You think that's how God wanted you to behave? He wanted you to keep a good attitude because you're part of His workforce. And He wants you to have a pure attitude and be pure toward people. He'll take care of what needs to be taken care of. And that's why He said, I think it's a mistake to ask God to judge your enemy or judge that evil person. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 32:35, to me belongeth vengeance and recompense. God said, you let me handle that. See, I'm not to want vindication and I'm not to want vengeance. Vengeance is in God's hands. I not only don't ask for vengeance, I let God decide what needs to be done. I let vindication be God's business, not mine. I let vengeance be God's business, not mine. I do not need vindication to go on and do my work.
Good.
There are people saying, well, as soon as I get vindication, I'll get busy for the Lord. Oh, the devil got you, didn't he?
Yep.
You're busy dealing with some human emotional battle that was given to you in the first place to keep you from reaching people, helping people, loving people, and getting people saved and getting people in church. Now you're all freaked out and you're an emotional mess because of the human element and you're fighting a secondary war.
Right.
The devil said, got you. You just keep fighting over there. You keep mixing it up in the church and you keep mixing it up among the brethren and you keep mixing it up with people and you just start some sort of an emotional war, and while you're busy doing all that, you're not getting anybody saved. You're not changing any lives. You're not bringing anybody to church. You're not being good to people because you're going to get your vindication. You're going to wait until this is all straightened out before you ever do anything for God. The devil says, gotcha! You're fighting a secondary fake war. Inflated tanks. I can't require vindication from God. Truth is, I can't require it from a human. I'm not going to waste my time waiting on vindication. I'm going to keep reaching people. I'm just telling you, folks. If you're not careful, you'll start fighting secondary wars. And before long, you'll quit your bus route, quit your Sunday school class, quit your soul winning, quit bringing visitors to church because you've got bigger fish to fry. I'm sorry. Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. There's no bigger fish to fry. Hey, and we're getting close to the end of the fourth point. Number five, do not let the enemy's attack distract you from your original purpose of reaching and helping people. Now I'm going to apply this with a few words that will mean something to you if you'll listen. Remember, Ephesians chapter 2, we read not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. There's a work for us to do. You got to stay on track. Too many people let an attack stop them from doing the people work of God. I like the illustration of Nehemiah from Nehemiah chapter 2. They were being attacked, but Nehemiah said, "So built we the wall." What did he mean? We're going forward. We're going forward. No matter what comes, we're going to keep reaching people. One of the best things I ever learned in my life, when evil was coming against the church, we increased our soul winning. We had more big days because of the attack, not less. Why? Let the devil know. We're not getting off track to go over there and fight a secondary war. I've got bigger things to do. You say, what is that? Building Sunday school classes. Building bus routes. Getting people saved. Changing lives. Helping people. If you're not careful, you'll spend all your time thinking about the evil that's come upon you and then not doing the work of God. Your goal is to accomplish the work that God has left you behind to do. And so you all know, I am not for hire to do your soul winning for you. Every Christian is to be a soul winner for themselves. You say, well, that's your job, Pastor. It's not my job as a pastor to go soul winning. It's my job as a Christian to go soul winning. And you're a Christian as well. Okay, listen. Let me use a term. It's a good term. You'll like it. Perseverance. It's in the Bible. Perseverance is getting to the goal that God has set for your life. Battles come, and my enemy wants to keep me from God's goal. Do you understand that one of God's goals for your life is reaching people? I win if I fulfill God's goal in spite of an evil attack. You say, hey, there's some people you can ask them how they're doing, and they'll say, I'm persevering. Did you know you're not just persevering through that? Okay, you say, I've got a long-term illness in my life, and I'm sorry that you do. You say, well, I'm persevering through my illness. Well, you're persevering through your illness if you're reaching people in spite of your illness. But if not, all you're doing is fighting that physical battle. That battle was given to you to keep you from doing the ultimate thing that a Christian can do, and that's one Christian getting a human being to get saved, or that's one Christian helping and making a difference in somebody's life. So if you say, well, my whole life rotates around that illness, let me tell you something. Your whole life is to rotate around getting people saved and changing lives. And if you're not careful, you will make the secondary battle the primary battle in your life. Perseverance is only applicable if you're getting to the proper end result. And what's that? Reaching and helping people. You say, endurance. Endurance is continuing toward the goal as the enemy opposes. That's what endurance is. My purpose is not to fight the enemy, but to reach and fulfill God's goal. I coach soccer. I forget how many soccer teams, 40, 50, 60 soccer teams in my day. We wanted to score a goal. Let me tell you something. If all my guys playing on defense, if all they did was play defense, we got the end of the game and we lost. They all said, we played defense. I'd say we didn't get out there to play defense. We went out there to win. I like defense. I'm glad you do like defense. It's a part of the game. But defense is not what the game is. And folks, I think sometimes we get so caught up in the secondary, we miss the primary battle. Let me tell you something. All the struggles that come in your life, probably in one way or another, the devil would like to use those to get you down so you don't do what you're supposed to do for God. Isn't the devil out there to hinder you from doing what you're supposed to do? Endurance, continuing toward the goal as the enemy opposes me. My purpose is not to fight the enemy, but to reach and fulfill the goal. There are people in this life that I am to help, and I must help them if I'm to fulfill that goal. If I spend all my time fighting some evil enemy, then I'm not helping the people God created me to help. We're going to have battles. But folks, don't let a battle get you off the primary purpose of your life, which is making a difference in the lives of people. You take long suffering. To me, it's when you endure an evil attack, but you do so you can keep helping people that you love. Listen, I think some people would like to endure, and they like to persevere so they can say they did. One of the titles that I almost gave this sermon was Pride in Your Pain. So I've experienced a lot of pain, a lot of setbacks. It's almost like, I'd just like to die and everybody be proud of me for everything I suffered. Really, enduring the pain is to get you to the purpose for which you were created. You weren't created to endure pain as secondary. You're created primarily for God and helping people. So be careful. You could have an element of pride as you go through your hardship. Oh, look what I did. Look what I survived. Look what I went through. You know something? If I survived everything that's ever come against me, but I stopped getting souls saved, and I stopped helping people, and I stopped changing lives, why would I need to go through all the junk that I've been through? I did not go through it to say that I went through it with dignity. I went through it to go through it, to get to the goal. What's a goal? Helping people, changing lives, getting people saved. That's the goal. And there are a lot of good Christians in Christianity that are enduring, but there's an element of pride in the endurance because they can say, look what I made it through. You are to go through to get to the goal, and the goal is the souls of men. Some of you are wasting your burden. Some of you have been through tragedies in life. Man, don't go through those, then turn around and waste it. The reason you were to make it through it is not just so you were a survivor, so that you go do something, so you could be used of God. Don't make the victory in your life victory over the enemy. Make the victory in your life victory in changing lives. Did you hear it? Don't make the victory in your life just a victory over that enemy. Victory over that attack. Make the victory in life the productivity on the other end of the battle. See, it wasn't all about the battle. Folks, if you're not careful, you will spend your life fighting a battle that was a decoy.
Right.
Right. Amen. Hey, and we do it admirably. And I'm not minimizing the war. I've been through my fair share. You say, down at work, I was publicly humiliated. I've been humiliated across the United States of America and around the world. I've tried to fight my battle, and I've tried to keep in there, and I've tried to keep on doing what I can. But it wasn't all about Jeff Owens surviving. It was about Jeff Owens making it through the battle so Jeff Owens could help build a church, and so Jeff Owens could get people saved, so Jeff Owens could make a difference in somebody's life. And if all you do is make it through the battle, but there's no productivity on the other end of the battle, why in the world go through the mess? Some of you need revival, and you need to be very careful that you are not fading, you're not fighting a secondary battle and making it primary in your mind. Now, I got to tell you this, and I'm almost done. For those of you who reach no people, you're missing the whole purpose of your life anyway. Whole purpose of your life. You were not saved to set. You were saved to serve. And the ultimate service is not stirring mashed taters in the church kitchen on homecoming. It's changing the lives of people. The devil throws things at you to stop you from being productive with people. Don't let him throw you a fake war to fight. Now, you still have to go through the heartache. You may still have to fight the battle. You may still have to go through that. But understand, the whole purpose to get through it was so that you could be His workmanship in Christ Jesus. In other words, I am to do the work of Christ. What's the work of Christ? For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. That was the main purpose of Jesus coming. And that's what you and I are to do. I struggled understanding exactly what I should call the sermon. I wanted to call it, "Your suffering's not all about you." I wanted to call it, "Your attack is not all about you." I wanted to call it, "Pride in your pain." Maybe even the name of that operation on D-Day, Operation Fortitude. They were trying to deceive the enemy, so the enemy was off track in regard to where the real war was going to be. And I tell you, if the devil... Look, if man is smart enough to do that, I'll guarantee you the devil's smart enough to do that too. Folks, when things come your way, realize the devil's behind it. And when you're fighting those battles, your goal is to come through this thing so you can keep reaching people and make a difference as you go. Hey, and might I say also, it's not just a matter of reaching people on the other end. I'll give you a real good piece of advice. Reach people all the way through. Reach them all the way through. Keep reaching people. And you won't regret it. I settled on the title, Surviving for the Sake of Our Good Works. Because He said, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Oh, I have been so excited about this truth. I was telling my wife this morning, I said, I'd like to skip Sunday school and get right to it. I would like to skip Sunday school and go right to the sermon because I am so excited. I think we have a truth today that kind of unmasks the way the devil works. He tries to get us off track. First of all, if you're not saved, we want to invite you to the Savior. If you died today and you're not sure you're going to heaven, why don't you get born again? You can go to heaven when you die. Is there anybody under the sound of my voice that would say, "Pastor, if I died today, I do not know for a fact I would go to heaven. Pastor, pray for me. I'm not born again." Would you raise your hand and let me see it? I'll pray for you. Say, "I'm not born again. I'm not saved. If I died today, I do not know for a fact I'd go to heaven. Pray for me." How many of you could tell the truth, be honest with yourself, be honest in church, and you would say, "Pastor, I'd not lie in church. If I died today, I know for a fact I'd go to heaven. I have trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior." Will you put your hand up quickly so God can see it? God bless you. You may put those hands down. Now, if you couldn't raise your hand that you know you're saved, check in your heart. If you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible, and we'll show you how to be born again. Hey, Christian, I'm not minimizing the fact that we go through battles. Not at all. We do. The whole lesson is, the attack is going to come. There's no way around it. But the thing is, if you're not careful, you'll get bogged down so much in that attack that you don't keep after the primary purpose of a Christian, and that's keeping people out of hell. Touching lives. Helping people. Because life is not all about things. It's all about people and God. Who here would say, "Pastor, today, I've listened. I believe that God has deeply spoken in my heart and mind. I am going to keep an eye on this thing. And I want to live the way God would recommend. And that is that I don't get in a secondary battle and let it become what my life's all about. But I want to come through and I want to make a difference in lives while I'm going through it and on the other end." And God has spoken to my heart about that today. Would you raise your hand and let God see your hand? Lots of hands. God bless you. You may put those hands down. And for some of you, you spend a lot of time fighting that secondary battle now. And you're going to have to fight the battle. I'm not telling you you won't. But do it for the right reason. Do it because you want to do something on the other end. Do it for the cause of Jesus Christ. You know, I feel bad for some people. I know people that have been through terrible things. And somehow the devil got them off track. And the whole purpose they were supposed to go through it was make them more productive for the Lord. What a waste of tragedy. Let's reach people, change people's lives, and make a difference in the lives of people. We're going to have an altar call. In a moment, I'll have the instrumentalists begin to play quickly and loudly. And once they begin to play, we're going to stand. And once we stand, if you need this altar, I wish you'd come. There are some people, you've been on the sideline watching. You say, well, fought my battle. Hey, listen, there's more to it than fighting that secondary battle. Hey, and let me tell you also, as a pastor, one of the simplest things that I try to keep in front of me to keep me going is, I'm going to get battles, but the whole battles are to keep me from getting people saved. That's what it's really all about. All those battles that I face are just trying to slow me down from doing the primary purpose for my life. I got to keep my eye on that focus. It'll help me get through the burdens. There's a bigger cause than me and what I'm going through. Here we go. I'll ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Everyone standing with your heads bowed, your eyes closed. If you need the altar, you come. There are adults that you need to hit the aisle. There are teenagers and you need to hit the aisle. There are people that need to come down here and say, you know what? I have gotten off track. I'm busy fighting that secondary battle to the point that I thought that's what it was all about. No, keep your eyes on the primary battle. That primary battle is keeping people out of hell. That primary battle is changing lives and helping people. God did not leave you here just to eat, and God did not leave you here just to make money, and God did not leave you here to build a name for yourself. God left you here to become a part of His workmanship created in Christ Jesus, and that workmanship is all about helping people, reaching people, changing lives. And if you get in a battle and that battle takes you away from all of that, the devil wins. Hey, you might not be as productive while you're in the battle, but you still ought to be productive. You may have to have a sword in one hand and a trial in the other. You need to keep on moving forward. The altar is open.